people hurt people.
All right, so this is Jussie Smollett singing that you've been hearing whenever we talk about him. And gosh, now he's arrested, and the police are at least saying that he's responsible for fabricating both the letter that was sent threatening him with death and calling him a bunch of names as a gay guy and a black guy, and actually orchestrating the attack on himself a couple of weeks ago. So, assuming all that's true, and I want to be fair here on the show, I mean, we have to, presumption of innocence, I'm serious about that, so let's see what we find out, but let's have the conversation about this in a generic sense. Why would someone go to these lengths to fabricate a hate crime? Dr. John Huber is a clinical psychologist. And, I mean, what's your initial reaction to the way this story has unfolded and where we are, at least we think where we think we are this morning, John?
Well, John, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. But
and we think about this, you know, I'm a clinical forensic psychologist, and I see a lot of things. I go into the courtroom, and I work with judges and prosecutors and defense. And the first thing that struck me was that you get this general hate letter out of nowhere. And then, you know, that's serious, and we need to be concerned with that. Somebody's making threats. But then they target the exact same person they sent the letter to, you know, and they knew exactly where he was going to be at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was 20 degrees below zero.
Right.
When
yeah.
Crime is opportunistic. You know, they don't want to have to work hard, or they would have gone to school for 14 years to become a doctor and buy their Porsche instead of stealing a Porsche, you know. And nobody's sends letters to the bank, says, hey, I'm going to rob you if you're not careful. You keep too much money in there, you're going to get robbed, and then turn around and rob the bank. So there were all these red flags going up for me saying, this is not right. There's something that doesn't make sense with this whole thing. And the other side to it is, you know, he's an actor. You know, you and I are in front of the public. We talk all the time. We're a little bit narcissistic to be able to do that. You have to have a little bit of pride in who you are to stand up in front of people and talk and to play roles and things like that, whether you're a musician, a radio show host, or a movie actor. So we've got that component, which is also kind of part of a big part, actually, of this other diagnosis called antisocial personality disorder. Now, I haven't assessed him. We're talking in general here, so I don't know. He may not be this way. There may be some other thing going on there. But my experience with the criminal element in the court system is they tend to be very narcissistic. And one of the things, you know, we look at this letter, it was so easy for the police to identify what was going on. In fact, it went to grand jury last night, and they indicted him on felony charges, and he got arrested. I mean, he's in jail.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's significant that a group of his peers looked at it, and they didn't even deliberate long. It was just like, okay, here's the information, and they came back with the verdict.
I'm wondering, you talk about the narcissism, and I think that's true. Anybody who's a performer on any level does think they've got something special to offer the world.
Exactly.
But do you think we are creating a culture where there's an entire group of people who want to be victims because they see something positive coming from the victimhood status? I mean, there was a time, I think, where people didn't want to say that they had a disease because people would shun them, or they would
Absolutely.
Make life worse. Or I don't want to admit that something bad happened to me because people might judge me for that. Now, I think it's almost the exact opposite culturally for us.
Well, I think you're right, because what have we done? We've glorified these people. Now, from the psychologist's point of view, this is very disturbing, because I work with people who come into my office and they don't even think about reporting whatever kind of crime or hate has been acted upon them, whether it's been in a sexual assault or whatever. And I spend a good deal of my time trying to help them cope and deal with this attack and the post-traumatic stress disorder from this thing. And one of the processes is, hey, let's notify the authorities. Let's let somebody have this on record, even if you never press charges against this person. Because if they do it again in the future, now there's a history, and they don't just blow it off. They actually go after this individual.
And it makes it seem a little less self-serving. Like, you know, to be candid about this Justin Fairfax set of allegations. Right. I have no idea what happened between these two people, but you know, the timing does make you question, why would you bring this up now that he's lieutenant governor instead of back when he was a nobody and just a campaign staffer? I mean, come on.
Well, it is a significant question, and you know, it's manipulation, and the victim now, whether they're a real victim or not, or they're just reporting to be a victim. I mean, one of the problems with waiting 20 years to report something is there's no evidence. It's just he said, she said, or he said, he said, or whatever the situation is. And you can just destroy somebody because you can't prove a negative. You can't say you didn't do something. You can't prove that. You can only prove somebody did something. Yeah. That's why in this country, in the legal system, you're guilty or you're not guilty until proven guilty.
Well, it's a lesson for individuals that individuals need to reaffirm their commitment to telling the truth and not embellishing and our outrage culture. I mean, I hope that the series of events we've seen from Brett Kavanaugh to the situation with the governor and the lieutenant governor here and the attorney general here and this Jussie Smollett thing, that we as a society will recommit to, let's not overreact, let's not underreact and sweep things under the rug, but let's not overreact either, right? I mean,
well, exactly, but it is easier to have outrage because all of a sudden people are like, oh, poor person, whereas if you stand out and say, hey, there's something here I like in this world and this is why I like it, you're now vulnerable because everybody can go, oh, why, you think that's more important than saving starving children? And I mean, they'll come from every angle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even our movie critics now, they don't tell you what they like anymore. They tell you what they don't like about movies.
Well, that's probably true. And I'll tell you, John, we're out of time, but when I first started on this program, one of the criticisms that people had of me, other than my chuckling, was you're not what was the word they said, Trey? You're not vehement enough. You're not... Now, you're not vehement enough. I want more vehemence from you because, I mean, let's be honest, that drives ratings. But my personality and being a journalist in a past life, it's hard for me to just be bombastic about it. I might crack an inappropriate joke on occasion. But anyway, that's a different subject. Dr. John Huber, clinical psychologist, really appreciate your thoughts and insight this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay true to yourself.